Hello, everyone. Welcome to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I am the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello, also from my side. So today we want to talk about the ECB policy meeting that took place on April 11, 2024. So going to this meeting, the main question of market participants was whether the baseline scenario of the ECB, which foresees an interest rate cut in June of this year, would be confirmed in light of three pieces of rather unwelcome news. These pieces consist of, number one, the stubborn stickiness of service price inflation, which continues to stand at 4% and refuses to go down. Number two, the recent rise in the oil price, which was quite significant. And number three, the rather disappointing inflation numbers that were coming out of the US and that are likely going to delay the Federal Reserve's first rate cut. So the question going into the meeting was, how would the ECB deal with this situation?
Well, let's start with the decision itself. So policy rates were left unchanged. The ECB had stressed at the March meeting, so its last meeting, that it would need to see more data, in particular with respect to wages, before it would feel sufficiently confident to quote, to cut its policy rate. And it would most likely have these data only by June, so for the June meeting. Thus, despite some governing council members insisting publicly on the possibility of an April rate cut, it was widely expected there would be no change in policy rates in April, and that was confirmed, obviously.
Yeah, so all rates are on the June meeting and the upcoming June decision. The main question for that is whether the latest developments would change the ECB's inflation projection. There will be a new projection available in June. In the prepared statement, the ECB made it clear that this is not going to be the case. So I can quote from this statement, quote, "The incoming information has broadly confirmed the Governing Council's previous assessment of the medium-term inflation outlook. Inflation has continued to fall, led by lower food and goods price inflation," end quote. This is not to say that the ECB believes that all is well on the inflation front. The prepared statement also emphasized, and I now quote, "domestic price pressures that are strong and are keeping service price inflation high," end quote.
The relative stickiness of services price inflation is indeed astonishing. Service price inflation has remained steady at 4% since November last year. That is in sharp contrast to goods price inflation, which has kept declining by several percentage points over the same period, reaching 1.1% in March. There are several factors that probably explain the divergence between goods and service price inflation. For one, wages make up a bigger share of total costs in the service sector. High wage growth thus generates, all else equal, stronger inflationary pressure for services than for goods. It's also the case that China is currently exporting goods inflation. Inflation in China stood at only 0.1% in March. Moreover, labor shortages and thus the ability to expand production appear to be a bigger problem in the services sector than in the goods sector, at least if one looks at the respective services where companies are asked, is the limit of getting labor a problem?
Right. So while the current level of services price inflation is too high for the ECB, it seems that services price inflation will not have to decline to 2% for the ECB to feel confident to reach its inflation target over the medium term. In fact, President Lagarde explicitly said, and I quote, "some segments of inflation will be at higher levels," end quote. It is noteworthy in this context that the pre-pandemic averages of service price inflation was 1.9% and the average for goods price inflation was 0.6%, taking all years up to the prior to the pandemic. So there will be some tolerance for service price inflation to be higher than the 2% mark, though some moderation will be needed to keep headline inflation at 2%. And this is especially true given the high weight that services have in the overall expenditure basket of the ECB's inflation measure. They account for nearly 50% of all expenditures. And that means that with a 4% inflation rate in services, as we currently have, services alone generate a 2% inflation rate for overall inflation. And that means for this to be consistent with the ECB's price stability notion of 2%, all other prices would have to display zero inflation, which of course is somewhat unlikely. So the inflation rate in services has to come down somewhat closer to the 3% range, perhaps, for the ECB to be able to reach its inflation target.
But it's also noteworthy in this respect that the average of headline inflation from 1999 to 2019, so until the pandemic struck, was only 1.7%, so below the ECB's target of 2%. So service price inflation settling at a somewhat higher level than in the past would probably consistent with inflation not undershooting again. So it's important to keep in mind that inflation actually undershot the ECB's targets prior to the pandemic. So in any case, despite the stickiness in service price inflation, the ECB confirmed its inflation outlook from April, and that sees headline inflation to settle at 2% from the mid-2025 onwards. President Lagarde stressed that there will be some volatility in the coming quarters, not least on the back of base effects from the energy component. So put differently, the ECB is willing to accept some temporary overshooting of the target in the coming months.
Right, but a necessary precondition for the ECB to be willing to tolerate these temporary fluctuations appears to be that wage growth will moderate from here onwards. According to statements made by President Lagarde during the press conference, latest data on wage dynamics, not all of which are publicly available, point to a weakening of wage growth. There are also some tentative signs for the labor market to be weakening. The number of vacancies, for example, is rising. And the sharp decline in headline inflation rates should also translate into lower wage demands by workers. And finally, and perhaps most uncertain, the ECB expects productivity to finally pick up, which would imply a decline in unit labor costs. One has to emphasize, though, that most of these developments are just forecasts of the ECB and not yet facts.
One focus of the press conference was the latest high inflation reading out of the US for the month of March, that it has led to a sharp repricing of the path for rate cuts by financial markets. Presently, there are roughly only 225 basis point rate cuts priced in by markets until the end of the year. Just for reference, at the beginning of the year, there were 8 rate cuts were priced in. So there's a significantly repricing based on the fact that inflation just turned out to be stickier than thought. President Lagarde stressed that the ECB is not waiting for the Fed to move, but rather will decide simply based on euro area data and the outlook for inflation. To be sure, a sharp depreciation of the euro against the US dollar, if the Fed were not to cut and the ECB to cut quite significantly, that would usually lead to a depreciation of the euro, and that would have implications for the inflation outlook in the euro area and therefore monetary policy implications. But presumably it's only through this channel that it matters what the Fed does.
Right, so the main message of yesterday's meeting was that the ECB will start easing interest rates in the June meeting, and the prepared statement made this clear, saying that if the ECB's baseline scenario materializes as expected over the coming months, then, I quote, it would be appropriate to reduce the current level of monetary restriction, end quote. At the same time, President Lagarde stressed again and again during the press conference that all this was dependent on the data developing broadly as expected. Significant data surprises to one side or the other might thus result in a recalibration of the required interest rate path. And given the high degree of uncertainty prevailing at the moment, the ECB was thus not willing to pre-commit in any way to the interest rate path beyond the June meeting.
Let's close with looking at the market reaction, which was rather muted. So market pricing continues to see roughly 80% chance of a 25 basis point cut in June. And then in total around 80, a bit less than 80 basis point of cuts until the end of the year. The German 10-year yield declined initially a bit during the press conference, but later recovered and ended the press conference broadly as at its initial level. And the euro, which obviously deserves a bit more focus given what's happening on the other side of the Atlantic, moved broadly sideways during the press conference. And there's no sign, at least for now, that the strong signal for a rate cut in June that was coming out of the press conference would trigger a significant depreciation of the euro in light of what's happening in Washington. So overall, the market reaction suggests that the outcome of the meeting was broadly as expected. So to sum up, the ECB is not there yet. It still needs to see a few data points, but the signal was that the baseline clearly remains a cut in June, and thereafter, again, the data will decide how many further cuts we'll get. There's one last point I should mention, which was interesting, and that concerns fiscal policy. One question yesterday in the press conference was whether the fiscal consolidation that might probably will happen in some countries in the euro area, given the rather high deficits last year, to what extent that would need to be incorporated in the ECB policy going forward. And in principle, obviously, if there is a fiscal tightening that will weaken growth and should have an impact then on how the ECB sets its monetary policy. But of course, we're at a very early stage and it remains to be seen how much fiscal tightening we'll get. We'll talk about this in next week's podcast, and we'll also have further down the line Vito Gaspar from the IMF with us, who will explain or talk about the fiscal side of things more on a global level. That's all for today.